If you have a song sheet, you know what we're going to reflect on. Here we have the theme, which comes from today's psalm response, I will rejoice in your salvation, O Lord. And then we have a picture of St. Cecilia playing the violin, or maybe it's a viola, I don't know what that is. But a little bit of an anachronism, because there were no violins in the days of St. Cecilia. That instrument was invented about 1,000 years, or maybe more than 1,000 years after her martyrdom. But St. Cecilia, as we know, is the patroness of sacred music. So she's often portrayed in artwork as a musician, sometimes with a stringed instrument, sometimes with a keyboard. St. Cecilia. Well, we're to reflect on rejoicing, and Cecilia is an example, one of the examples we can reflect on, what it means to rejoice in salvation, or to rejoice in the Lord. As we know, there are many different reasons for rejoicing. There's joy on many different levels. Perhaps the first thing that comes to mind is tomorrow's great feast day, or great solemnity, the solemnity of Christ the King, King of the universe. That's a feast of joy, and that feast reminds us of the joy that awaits us at the end of time. Joy without end, joy without limit, joy in the fullness of God's reign. So we can look forward to that joy and to that feast tomorrow. Of course, Christ the King is the fiesta of the Christ the King subdivision in Poulot. So it's the fiesta of that community. And there'll be plenty of good food there. If you go there, there'll be plenty of drinking, there'll be games, there'll be music. Fiesta. So that's one indication of the joy that we're talking about, not the games and the drinking. I'm talking about the joy of God's reign, eternal reign. Then St. Cecilia herself is an indicator of joy, a little bit of a, not a contradiction, what's the word, where you wouldn't think that she would be an image of joy because she's a martyr, virgin martyr. She didn't have the joy of marriage and family, and she didn't live a long life. So how can she be an image of joy? Because she's one who rejoices in the Lord. She rejoices even while she's being martyred because she has union with the Lord, St. Cecilia. Maybe we'll get back to her in a moment. I was thinking, of course, I just got back from my pilgrimage to Portugal and Spain, and one image of joy came to my mind about a week ago. If you don't mind me telling this story, these things are still fresh in my mind. We were in Avila in the morning, I think it was Friday morning, then we went to, in Avila, of course, we rejoiced to be able to offer Mass in the chapel over the birthplace of St. Teresa. And then we went to Segovia. I didn't know anything about Segovia, but we got there, and the first thing I noticed there is this very tall Roman aqueduct. It's a beautiful structure. Huge stones piled up, and that they built it at all is amazing, and that it's still there is even more amazing. It's 2,000 years old, this aqueduct. So, of course, we took about 2 million pictures of it, because it's a very attractive structure. So we were rejoicing to be in Segovia, even though it was a very cold day. And then we went to up the hill, and our guide said, well, I'll give you the afternoon free. You can go to the cathedral, you can go to the palace, the Alcazar Palace, and you can do your shopping for souvenirs, whatever you want to do. And we'll meet at the restaurant at 6:30. So he pointed to us, go to that restaurant at 6:30, and the specialty of the restaurant is cochinillo. I never heard of cochinillo, so I didn't know what he was talking about. So we wandered around, and we went to the cathedral, and it's extraordinary, and you know, lots of beautiful things. But it got colder and colder, it started to rain. It was about 10 degrees, and then with the wind chill, they said it was about 6 degrees. So we were all very happy to get to the restaurant and get into the warm weather. And then we got to the restaurant, good Spanish wine, very fresh hot bread, and we're all rejoicing to be there at all and not be on our feet after we've been walking around all afternoon. And then along comes the cochinillo. Now, have you heard of this? Cochinillo. It's actually a pig. It's a little pig. And so I'm in the corner of the restaurant, like in that far corner, and in this corner, we have a section of the restaurant just to ourselves. There's 26 priests, our guide, our drivers, 28 of us, all having a great time getting since out of the rain. And then in this corner of the restaurant, in walks the chef with this big platter, or kind of rolls it in, big platter, and on the platter is this little pig kind of flattened out on a platter. And he picks up a plate about this big, and he, I didn't know, there's a ritual that goes with cochineal. He cuts off the head of the pig with the plate, boom, like that. Everybody claps, and then all the priests are video recording it. And then he cuts off, boom, 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 boom. He cuts it maybe, I don't know, 6 or 8 chops with this plate, and then he throws the plate on the floor and smashes it, and everybody claps. So I thought this was fascinating, and everybody enjoyed it. Of course, it was a very enjoyable thing. Now we had this roasted cochineal, and we had the other specialty of that restaurant was, I called it paella, but the waiter corrected my pronunciation, paella. So we had paella and cochineal and plenty of wine, and we all were rejoicing. So that's rejoicing, and for a good reason. Good friends, you know, lots of reasons for joy. Is that rejoicing in the Lord? Well, if it's God's will that we be there, yes. But does that joy remain? If we never go back to Segovia again, are we going to be unhappy? If we never have cochineal again, are we going to be unhappy? No. Because the joy that this psalm talks about, I will rejoice in your salvation, is a joy that doesn't end. So it's good to reflect on different levels of joy. The psalm, where this verse comes from, this is Psalm 9, it says this: I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will declare all your wondrous deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, Most High. So you see, the psalmist is rejoicing in the Lord. But then in the rest of the psalm, he's rejoicing at the defeat of his enemies. Because my enemies are turned back, overthrown, and destroyed before you. You have destroyed the enemy. You have cast them down into the pit. The nations are sunk into the pit which they made. The snare they set, their foot is caught. And it's all about the destruction of the enemies. You say, well, is that the same thing? Is that rejoicing? The psalm is chosen to go with today's first reading, which is about King Antiochus, an evil king, a very evil, oppressive king, who was forcing a pagan religion on the Jews and persecuting them terribly. Well, here in this reading from Maccabees, this evil king starts to fail. His enemies are defeated. His own plans are defeated. He sinks into depression. He's close to death, and he realizes all this power, all these possessions, all this gold, this is not saving me. This is not giving me lasting happiness. And he's dying, as he calls it, in bitter grief in a foreign land. And the psalm is rejoicing that that's what happened to the king. So this enemy of the Jews, it has been defeated, and we are rejoicing. Now, there's something to reflect on here, because there is a natural reaction when our enemies are defeated. We naturally experience joy. That's just an emotional reaction. If someone who's done wrong to you experiences something, some suffering, it gives us a kind of feeling of joy. You have to be careful with that, though, because it's one thing to have a spontaneous reaction of joy. It's another thing to rejoice that other people are suffering. See the difference? One thing is just that just comes to us because justice is done, or we're relieved of suffering, or whatever. But it's another thing to want others to suffer, or to want ill to take place and misfortune to fall on others. That's a sin. And sometimes you don't make a distinction. There's a word for this, actually. I never heard anyone pronounce it, so I don't know how to pronounce it. Schadenfreude. Schadenfreude. If I'm mispronouncing it, you can look it up. I don't know. But I see it in writing all the time. It's taking delight in someone else's suffering. It's that feeling you get when someone experiences misfortune and you don't. Schadenfreude. Probably the closest I can think of in common language here in the Philippines is karma. When somebody does something wrong and then they suffer, someone will say that karma, that's karma. It's not exactly the same thing, but it's still something to watch out for, because when we're talking about rejoicing in the Lord, we are talking about the rejoicing in God's plan unfolding, rejoicing in his kingdom being established. And that means the destruction of evil kingdoms. It means the fall of evil. It means suffering. So are we rejoicing that people are suffering? Not exactly, no. I mean, it might seem like a good thing. But our joy is that God is in charge. Our joy is that God reigns and will reign forever. Our joy is not that people suffer. If they suffer and they benefit from that suffering, well, good. Good. Because love, which is what a Christian is called to do, love moves us to choose what is good for the other person. Even if that person doesn't like it, even if it causes suffering. If it's good, well then good. God's will be done. So that's joy. Not schadenfreude. Not schadenfreude. Not just rejoicing that that people get their just desserts. Okay, so what are we reflecting on here? What's this, I will rejoice in your salvation, O Lord? This is not joy in earthly justice. It's not joy in paella and cochinillo. It's not joy in traveling to different places. It's not even joy in marriage and family life. Because as we learn from the gospel today, even those good things do not last in this world. Marriage is good, but one of the highest goods there is, but it doesn't last. Joy not in possessions, not in power, not in whatever King Antiochus got from all his efforts. Not joy in any of those things, but joy in the Lord. This is what Santa Cecilia experienced. St. Cecilia was dedicated to the Lord. We don't know too much about her, but we know from the account or from the tradition that she rejoiced in the Lord even when she was forced to get married when she had made a vow of virginity. One of the traditions is that as they were playing the music at the wedding, she was singing with joy in her heart to the Lord. Another tradition is that when they were executing her, she was singing in her heart to the Lord. So that's why she's an image of a sacred musician or a patroness of sacred music, because in her heart was this joy that could not be defeated by contradiction or by suffering, a joy that lasts. She's a virgin martyr who is an icon of joy, joy in the Lord. Let me conclude by going back to the psalm today, because at the end of the psalm, there's a mention of the Anawim. Very last verses, the nations are sunk in the pit they made, in the snare they set, their foot is caught. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, nor shall the hope of the afflicted forever perish. A little bit bad translation. That last line is, if you go to the Hebrew, the hope of the Anawim shall never perish. The hope of the Anawim shall never perish. Now I like this verse, because it mentions the Anawim, but also because it mentions hope, and we're in the Jubilee year, right? Pilgrims of hope. Pilgrims of hope rejoice in the Lord's salvation. Pilgrims of hope rejoice that the Lord's plan will be done even if we don't see it yet. And the Anawim live with that kind of hope. The poor of the Lord live with that kind of joy. There are many reasons not to rejoice. I don't even have to mention them. I mean, natural disasters, corruption, suffering, pain, death, and many other things. They say, well, how can we possibly rejoice if we have all these sufferings? Ask St. Cecilia, how can you possibly rejoice when you're being killed for your Christian faith? She would say, I'm rejoicing in the Lord. The hope of the Anawim shall never perish. The hope of those who put their trust in God, of those who depend on God, will never perish. And the joy of the Anawim will never perish. So that's the joy we're talking about today, the joy we celebrate with St. Cecilia, and the joy we celebrate with the reign of Christ the King tomorrow. It's the joy of the Jubilee year. It's the joy of Christian faith. So with St. Cecilia and with all who believe, all who celebrate Christ the King, we rejoice in the Lord.